I'm Jay Farner, CEO of Quicken Loans, America's premier home purchase lender. We've created a new way to protect you from unpredictable interest rates, our exclusive Rate Shield approval. First, we lock your interest rate for up to 90 days. Then, if rates go up, your rate stays locked. But if rates go down, your rate drops. Either way, you win. Call us today at 800-QUICKEN or go to rocketmortgage.com.
Rate Shield approval only valid on certain 30-year fixed rate loans. Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states. NMLS number 3030. Additional conditions or exclusions may apply.
As I've been talking this morning about the senator, Senator Susio, and some of the investigation that he has been doing as far as the Connecticut DOT commissioner may have made up revenue statistics, which led to passage of the $10 million toll study bonding. And I had been mentioning this earlier this morning, and I have the senator on the line right now. Senator Susio, good morning, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Brad. It's great to speak to you once again.
Well, I tell you, you are a regular here, but I wish there were more that would get into this investigative reporting stuff, and that's exactly what you're doing. How did this all come about, Senator?
Well, Brad, I was sitting in that bond commission hearing where they made the decision to borrow $10 million for yet another toll study that we don't need. The governor called the commissioner, Commissioner Redeker, the commissioner of the Department of Transportation, to come up and say a few words to help convince the bond commission to borrow the $10 million. So I listened intently to what the commissioner was saying, and I almost leaped out of my chair when I heard him say that the tolls could raise about $1 billion a year net at only 3.5 cents a mile. I was totally stunned by what he said because I've read all the studies that have been done by the consultants regarding tolls. I sit on the Transportation Committee. I'm vice chair of the Transportation Committee, and I never saw anything even close to what he's talking about in the toll studies or any discussions about tolls. And I thought to myself, where in the world did he come up with that number? So the very next day, I contacted his office, and by email, I just said, I listened to your testimony with great interest. I don't know where you got those numbers. They're not in any of the studies I've seen. Would you send me the information? I didn't get any response. So the next week, I sent another email. Again, no response. The next week, I sent another email and no response. So then we tried to contact his office through the liaison at the Capitol. No response. Finally, in September, after 6 weeks, I said, all right, it's crazy, but I've got to use the Freedom of Information Act to ask him for this stuff. So under the Freedom of Information Act, we formally requested the data. The response I got was, well, it's based on a study that's not done yet. It's going to take another month.
What?
So we waited another month and then asked again, and still no numbers. And then they told me, well, they haven't really done anything yet because they haven't even decided on what the assumptions are for the study. So in my opinion, the commissioner made this up just to help convince the commission to borrow the money. It was made up of whole cloth. There's nothing I've seen that shows me he had any basis to make that claim on, but nonetheless, he went forward with it, and he hasn't come clean with the public and told the public yet. And if he's got some kind of crazy numbers, he owes it to the public and certainly owes it to the Transportation Committee to divulge that information. But I think he's covering it up. I think he's colluded with the governor to just mislead the commission and help convince them to borrow $10 million for a study that we don't need.
Well, Senator Susio, I met you way back when you called me one morning, okay, and you started to talk about some things that had happened as far as releasing prisoners was concerned. Mm-hmm. And we did a whole series on this. I thought it was one of the worst things that ever happened here, and I told you that. And you agreed. Mm-hmm. And then there were other things that happened that you called me on. And every one of them was right there, right on the money. But here is something that, here is the Connecticut DOT commissioner and 10, I mean, I can't believe $10 million to borrow $10 million so that we could have tolls. And now we are learning, and the public. See, this is what I'm concerned about, the same thing you are. We got to tell the public the truth so they know what's going on. And that is the reason that you're going to see some big changes in this voting come Tuesday.
Yes, and Brad, again, I've tried. I didn't even want to use the Freedom of Information Act. I thought the commissioner said to my vice chair of the Transportation Committee that he'd willingly turn over the information to me. So all his actions tell me that the numbers really don't exist. He might have talked, he's got lots of numbers, of course, but I think he just stretched the truth to the breaking point. And again, it was done to influence the bond commission to borrow $10 million. That's what upsets me. I think he owes it not only to be honest to the public, he owes it to be honest to the bond commission and not mislead them and try to influence them to make a decision on borrowing millions of dollars for yet another study that we don't need. I'm sick and tired of the stonewalling I'm seeing, and I will definitely... I filed a complaint with the commission. I did a FOIA request, the Freedom of Information request, back in early September. Now we're into November. I finally said enough is enough. I filed a complaint with the Freedom of Information Commission asking them to order him to divulge the information to the public that he was relying on when he influenced the bond committee to make this infamous decision to borrow $10 million for another toll study.
Well, Senator Susio, this is the reason. This is the reason that I get the calls that I get. And I'll tell you something right now. This is what it's all about. The public has got to know the truth, and the public does not know the truth all the time. And this is something that we've got to go after. And I think, and it's just my gut feeling, that this election is going to shake up a lot of people. I really believe that.
Well, I think you're right, Brad. I've talked to, I've been knocking on doors, and I've gone to between 3,000 and 4,000 houses now, and there's this underlying simmering anger just people upset with the current situation. And they're people who are quiet. They're not people who go out in the streets and demonstrate and yell and scream and do vulgar actions. They're just the quiet, what I guess, they used to call it the silent majority. And I do believe, I think you're right, there's going to be a lot of people who are quiet right now, but they'll be very loud on Tuesday when they mark their ballots.
Well, you found out, I'm sure you know, I got the word this morning that the candidate that I met for the first time, interviewed him, and right away thought that he would be the winner, honest. After I got through with my interview the first time, I interviewed him for over 10 minutes. I said, this is the man. If he gets out to the public and they get to know him and see him and listen to him, I don't care how many debates or what it is, he's going to win it. And I think he's going to win it. And right now, he's in the lead.
Are you talking about Bob Stefanowski?
Stefanowski,
Brad, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I met him a year ago. People who were touting him as a prospective candidate at the time brought him to meet me because I'm a businessman too, and they wanted him to talk to me as a businessman to businessman, and he was very inquisitive. I was very impressed because one thing about him, he's not only smart and he's got a lot of, I think, relevant experience, Brad, but he's smart enough to know what he doesn't know. No one knows everything, and good leaders know what they don't know, and they hire people to help them address those areas. And Bob was very inquisitive about, the political process. And he thought my experience as a business guy, I've been in it now for, 10, 15 years, that would help him understand what the process was. And I was very impressed by that. He's got very good leadership skills, and I think he'd make a great governor if the people of Connecticut do select him next week.
Let me tell you something. Isn't it ironic that the gentleman that tied in with him from California, tied in with him, okay, right along, who do you think he helped to get elected to an office here in this country?
Let me think. You tell us, share that with the audience. What do you think?
Ronald Reagan.
Wow. Wow.
That's right. Who he helped to get elected president, and he was working for Mr. Stefanowski.
Yes, you're talking about the economist, Art Laffer.
You got it.
Famous for the supply side economics, and Art Laffer is the one who led economic policy under Reagan and the great resurgence of the economy when Reagan became president of the United States. It was his economic theory that Reagan put into practice, and the country was hurting when he came into office back in 1980.
You got it.
In 2 years, it was booming again.
And he had him this time right here in Connecticut.
That's right. He's Bob Stefanowski's economic advisor, and I'm convinced that if Bob is elected, you'll see Connecticut turn around pretty quickly. Because, you know, what I've learned, Brad, is that life is 90% between the ears. If you're positive about things and you work hard, you know, you'll act accordingly. If you're pessimistic about things, you'll act accordingly. And the people of Connecticut, under the leadership of Governor Malloy, have just said, we've got a leader who's taken us backwards. We need someone who's going to take us forward. And I think the people will find out next week that Bob Stefanowski is that guy.
Okay, my friend. Thanks for everything. We'll talk again soon.
Thank you, Brad. Have a great weekend, by the way.
You too. God bless you. 20 minutes after.